Amen. Take your Bibles, please. The book of Luke, chapter number 10. Luke, chapter number 10. I want to be as brief as I can be, but I want you to feel like you've been to church time you leave out of here. Somebody say amen. I spend more time in a drive-thru at Chick-fil-A than some folks do in church. Amen. Praise God. I will have to cut out most of my jokes, but thank you for attending our faith family. What is it? Firearms, food service. Thank you for coming and being a part of that. We celebrate stuff like this in America. Had an Englishman kind of get on to me a little bit for celebrating Independence Day. He brought up the whole slavery issue. Now, I'll tell you this. I ain't ashamed to talk about it. Slavery was a blight on not just American history, but world history. Been studying my Bible. Chattel slavery was not God's will. Somebody say amen. Amen. And our Constitution, the framers of our Constitution wrote it out of our country in the founding document. Somebody needs to study history. Somebody needs to study history. Amen. All men are created equal. Can I get a little witness? Thank God for that. Even our forefathers knew that they had to let go of that. But I told him, I said, sir, and here he was making fun of me being American, celebrating Independence Day. I said, where'd we learn slavery from, by the way? Help me, somebody. Oh, he couldn't handle that one. I said, yeah, everything bad that goes on in America, we inherited from England. I can name them all. Slavery, English muffins, the Beatles, hot tea, everything bad that happens in this country. Amen. He didn't like that at all. Rolled his R's. Walked away. Amen. If you're in Luke chapter 10, say amen. I want to look at verses 1 through 3, and then we'll jump down into verse number 17. I got three things I want to show you. Ain't that a blessing? Could have been 15. Amen. I just want to take a few minutes and give you some good news. Thank God for the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Amen. And we got, preacher said, we've got food over there and we're going to blow some stuff up. That's how we celebrate. That's how we celebrate our freedom in America. Something's going to get blowed up. Amen. Yeah. Bottle rocket wars and Roman candle fights. Watermelon rind wars. Leave me out of all that though. I got no insurance. Amen. Well, look at your Bible in Luke chapter number 10 and verse number 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore, said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Look down in the chapter with me at verse number 17. And the 70 returned again with joy. Hallelujah. They came back and they were shouting the victory, praising God, having them a time. Somebody say amen. Saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Hallelujah. That's good news, honey. Don't matter where you're from. That's good news. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hallelujah. That's shouting ground right there. Look at verse number 20. Notwithstanding, oh, hear me now, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. Look at verse number 21. In that hour
Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. I'm going to stop reading right there at verse number 21. Would you pray with me and pray for me tonight? Father, thank you for the word of God. I thank you, Lord, for these that have gathered here tonight. I pray you would take us by the hand and walk us through this page in your Bible. I pray you would tell us things and show us things. I pray the word of God would go forth mightily. I pray you would say something to the heart of somebody listening. I pray you would bless and help us in the preaching time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to look back with me now at the first three verses that we read. Here Jesus is sending 70 disciples. Here the Bible said in verse number 1, he gave them a preaching requirement. Did you know that Jesus told them what to preach? In verse number 1, he sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whether he himself would come. Do you know what the preaching requirement was? In Luke chapter number 10 and verse number 1, he said, I want you to go into those cities and you tell them I'm coming. Hallelujah. He said, tell them don't be long and I'll be there myself. Hey, that's what the preaching requirement ought to be today. We ought to be telling this lost and dying world, you ought to make your house ready to get things in order, because won't be long Jesus is on his way. He's coming back. He came back the first time like he said he would, and he'll come back the second time just like he said he would. He told them what to preach in chapter 10 and verse number 1, a preaching requirement. Notice with me verse number 2. And there's a prayer request. Oh, help me right here. Jesus often talked about prayer. In fact, in Luke chapter number 11, Jesus' disciples came to him and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. That's interesting to me, preacher. They had seen him raise the dead. They had seen him cast out devils. They had seen him open up the eyes of the blind. They had seen him turn water into wine. They had seen him walking on the storm sea and calm the raging winds. But the thing that impressed them the most, they didn't say teach us to do miracles. They didn't say teach us to preach. They said teach us to pray. The thing that impressed those disciples about the Lord Jesus was his prayer life. And Jesus taught them to pray. He said, when you pray, say our Father. Oh, hallelujah. Honey, that's a New Testament concept you won't find anywhere in the Old Testament. Thank God we can call on God as our Father. He taught them to pray. He gave them what we call a model prayer. He gave them a parable about prayer and talked about prayer. He said men ought always to pray and not to faint. We're supposed to pray without ceasing. But here's the only one time in your King James Bible where God ever told us what to pray for. And in Luke chapter number 10 and verse number 2, he said, here's what I want you to pray about. He said, the harvest is plenteous, but the labors are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth labors into his harvest. He said, this is the prayer request that I've got on my mind. Help me somebody. It's that God would send more laborers out there into the harvest. Hallelujah. In verse number 1, there's a preaching requirement. In verse number 2, there's a prayer request. But look at verse number 3. In verse number 3, there's a personal representation. He said, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. He said, this is how you're going to act. You're going to act like lambs. They're going to act like wolves. Help me, somebody. Now, I'll say to you that lambs don't do so good among wolves unless the shepherd's watching. Hallelujah. Don't make me come down there, honey. I'm trying to be brief. I'm trying to mind myself and be good. But thank God I feel a Holy Ghost of God running up the avenues of my soul. I'm glad, thank God, to whatever perils we face down here, our shepherd's watching. And the wolves can't hurt the flock as long as the shepherd's watching. Hallelujah. You know why I told them in verse number 3, you're going to act like lambs? It's because you're not out there representing yourself. Help me, somebody. You're going to act like a lamb because he's a lamb. Hallelujah. Old John the Revelator turned around and saw. He wanted to see the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he turned around and saw, as it were, a lamb having been slain from the foundation of the world. He's the Lamb of God. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And he wants you to act like a lamb. When you go out yonder, expect them to act like wolves, but you're going to act like a lamb because he's a lamb. Praise God. Now that was my entire introduction. I have impressed myself. Come here. Now to our text. In the early part of chapter number 10, Jesus sends 70 disciples, two and two, and they're coming back. Watch what happens. Verse number 17, and the 70 returned again with joy. Oh, do you know how this world will recognize us? It's not by our Christian t-shirts. Somebody holler amen. It's not our fish stickers on the bumpers of our cars. Help me, somebody. By the way, if you're going to put a fish sticker on the bumper of your car, drive right down I-85. Can I get a witness? Amen. Yeah. If God is your co-pilot, you ought to let him drive every now and then, and he'll keep her under the speed limit and won't cut folks off no more. Oh, help me, Jesus. Amen. Here, you know how the Bible, you know how that lost and dying world will recognize us? It's by our, hallelujah. This old world don't care about our fundamentals. They don't care about our hemline and our hairline. They'll know us by the joy of the Lord. Honey, did you know that the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost for a reason? So that you can show forth the love of God and the joy. And there's a joy in serving Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. The 70 returned again with joy. Praise God, y'all. Can I give that to you in the ACP? The Alabama Cotton Patch Translation. They're shouting the victory. They're hooping and hollering. They're cutting up and carrying on. They're glad about it. They're happy because God, hey, they're glad because it works. Hey, y'all, it really works. It really, they saw lives changed. They saw God do miracles in the name of Jesus. You know what there's a shouting about? There's a shouting about the overcoming of hell. Even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Hey, that's reason to shout. That ain't the only reason to shout. They're shouting about, they're rejoicing about the overcoming of hell, and they're rejoicing about the outcome of the harvest. They went out to preach just like Jesus said, and just like Jesus said, it worked. And folks got saved, and lives got changed, and things happened. You ain't got to have an evangelist show up from Alabama to teach you how to rejoice when there's folks walking down the aisle getting born again. If there's an ounce of God in you, honey, you know how to rejoice when things are going right. Preacher, you don't need an evangelist show up and take a text and preach on how to handle it when things are going the way you want them to go. Help me, somebody. Here's what they're doing. It worked. Things went like they liked for it to go, and now they're shouting about it. Look at verse number 20. Jesus put the brakes on the whole outfit. No, he's not Presbyterian. He ain't throwing a wet blanket on their shouting party. Help me, somebody. He's not saying, now y'all know better than hoot and holler and act like that. We don't do that around here. That's not what he's saying. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. He's not telling them not to rejoice. He's not telling them not to shout about the overcoming of hell and the outcome of the harvest. Here's the deal. Jesus knows enough to know that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah 8:10. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That's another reason we've got so many weak Christians who can't handle life. Help me somebody, because there's no joy, no joy, no joy. And there, listen, if the only time you rejoice is when you're overcoming hell, you're not going to be rejoicing very much. Because it looks like in this day and age that we live in, we get a victory every now and then. Sometimes it looks to me like we take one step forward and three steps back. Can I get a witness? Amen, y'all. Hey, it looks like the devil's winning. It looks like the devil's got control. It looks like he's the god of this world. It looks like he's the prince of the power of the air. It looks like people are operating according to his whims and his wishes. It looks like the devil's going to get his one world order, and he's going to get his one world government, and his one world currency, and his one world church, and things are rapidly approaching to that. And honey, if the only time that you rejoice is when you're overcoming hell, you're not going to be rejoicing very much. Jesus said, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. If the only time you rejoice is in the outcome of the harvest, you're not going to be rejoicing very much. Amen? There's a season to these things. Sometimes there's a harvest season and sometimes there's not. Sometimes there's a dry spell. I've been preaching on the life of Abraham lately. I didn't go into that because it takes me a week to preach that. You might just stay tuned. You might get some of that. Amen. Here's what the Bible said in Abraham's life. Genesis chapter 12. You know the story. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy father's house and out of thy among thy kin and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. He said, a land of promise, land of plenty. I'm going to bless you. You know what happened when Abraham got there? There was a famine in the land. You know, it dries up even in the will of God sometimes. Can I get a tiny little witness? Even when you're in the will of God, there's dry spells. You better learn how to rejoice when the harvest don't go like you want it to. You better learn how to rejoice when you've had all five nights of VBS and not one kid walked out and got saved. You better learn how to rejoice when you've had when you've worked all week long and knocking doors and inviting people, and not one time does somebody come to church. Oh my. Look at it. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice. You know what Jesus is saying in verse number 20? If you want a reason to rejoice, I'm going to give you some reasons. And I'm going to give them to you real quickly. Oh my, I am impressing my... Don't tell nobody I can preach this brief. They'll all want it and they ain't getting it. This is for y'all for 4th of July. Just cause the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade out of the generosity of my own heart. Huh? Amen? By the way, I have noticed that everybody that is for abortion has already been born. 3 reasons to rejoice. We could sit up here all night and mullygrub and complain. Gas is $4.69. I don't know how much it is. Arm and a leg. Somebody say amen. Are you with me? Gallon of milk and a gallon of gas. It's all gone up. They said they're going to start. The price of chicken's going up. That's when I'm drawing the line, honey. I don't care how high gas goes. I walk to church. You start messing with my groceries, you'll have a fight. You don't take chicken from a Baptist preacher, honey. You'll get a heel kick to the side of the head. Amen. You don't. Amen. We'll solve this thing. Alabama militia head up there. We'll have a new American revolution. They start taking our chicken away. Amen. Oh, we could spend all night talking about what we don't have. How it used to be. Some of you gray-haired saints of God can remember when the church house was full and the spirit was high and morals were on an uprise rather than a decline. Help me somebody. Oh, we could talk all night about how bad things are, and we could all get depressed, half a drink of half a bottle of Maalox just to get a wink of sleep tonight. Oh, that'll not do you a lick of good. I want to tell you something, honey, as bad as things are, God's still good. God's still good and God's still God. And right here in this text, I want to show you three reasons you could still rejoice. Reasons to rejoice. Number one, look at them with me. Look at verse number 18. Verse number 17, they said, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Hallelujah. Number one, reasons to rejoice is because that Satan has been expelled. You hear what he said in verse number 18? Satan's got kicked out, honey. He has lost his place of authority. He's no longer in charge. He might be the little g god of this world, honey. He might be the prince of the power of the air, but he is a defeated foe. Hallelujah. You know, 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walk as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom made of hour. Everybody's worried about that lion. Well, I read about another lion in Revelation chapter number 5. The lion of the tribe of Judah. He's been hunkered down in the tall grass of time for about 2,000 years. This old world ain't heard a lot from him, honey. But oh, hallelujah, he's getting ready to pounce. I'm glad I'm on his side. Somebody holler amen. Worried about that lion. I got a preacher friend of mine over in Uganda, Africa, Brother Caleb Taft. He said, you got to come. I said, I'm a coming. I said, I got lions over there. He said, yes, they do. Huh? Now look at me, y'all. You know I would be delicious. If you was a lion, you know, help me. And so naturally, I'm concerned about getting mauled by a lion. I'm not very fast. I mean, I ain't never been chased by a lion. I mean, we've yet to see how quick I can move on that one. I didn't know what I was going to do should a lion get after me. I tell you what I did do, preacher. I Googled it. Hey, man. What to do in case a lion attacks? Well, I found out there's three good things you can do. Number one, here's what the old boy that works at the Wildlife Research Center in Kenya, Africa said. He said, don't run. Well, there goes plan A. Huh? Don't run. He said, stand your ground. I immediately went to Ephesians chapter number 6. And having done all to stand therefore. Hallelujah. He said, if he still persists in his pursuit, he said, hold your hands above your head as far as you can and shout as loud as you can. Y'all think I'm making this up, honey. You can look it up for yourself on Wikipedia. If it's on Wikipedia, you know it's true. He said, hold your hands above your head and shout as loud as you can. He said, this confuses the lion. It makes you look bigger than you actually are. Woo! Honey, some of y'all, honey, you're prey. You're a sitting duck. And you're still, hey, you ought to learn how to put your hands in the air and give God some glory and shout. In the middle of your satanic attack, that'll confuse the lion. He'll think you're bigger than you are. He said, number three, should the lion still approach? Now see, I got fat checked on this one. Not fat check. Nobody needs to fat check me, okay? All right, and I don't appreciate that. Fat checking me. Ain't nobody needs fact check. He fact checked me. Feel free. But it wasn't in the column. It's in the comments. There's actually a conversation that we were having with this wildlife resource manager in Kenya, Africa. It's down in the comment section. Yeah, fact check. Anyway, sorry, y'all. You had to pay for something somebody else did to me. I apologize. Here's what he said. He said, first of all, stand your ground. Number two, raise your hands above your head and shout loud as you can. And if the lion pursues, he said, get as close to a tree as you can. Hallelujah. If I got to preach that to you, y'all got to go back to kindergarten. Stand next to a tree. Hey, Jesus was crucified on an old tree. Hallelujah. If the devil runs to you, run to Calvary. stand real close to that tree. Well, praise the Lord. Let me see. Let me look. Oh, yeah. Right on schedule. I have been preaching every bit of 4 minutes. At the very least. Huh? Jesus said, y'all want to shout? I watched God kick him out of heaven. Satan has been expelled. Hallelujah. Honey, I don't care what kind of hold he might have had on you. He ain't got that hold no more. Hey, praise God, you ain't got to find you a liquor bottle. Help me, somebody. You ain't got to find you a dope man. There's a new sheriff in town. And if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Hallelujah. Satan has been expelled. Number two. Oh, I like this one. Look at verse number 20. Notwithstanding in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather, here we go, y'all, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Woo! Did you know if you're saved by the grace of God, did you know your name has been written in heaven? The signature has been exposed. This is the first time he's ever talked about it in the New Testament. I know Paul talked about that Lamb's Book of Life. John the Revelator talked about the Lamb's Book of Life. But this is the first time that book is mentioned in your Bible, hallelujah, in the New Testament. That's the first time. Did you know that there's a book up yonder? There's a book of names up yonder. And God has written, if you're saved by the grace of God, your name has been written in heaven. Hallelujah. Oh, it started when I was just a little boy. I was in Miss Minturn's third grade class, and I got my name put in the upper right-hand corner of the chalkboard. I don't know if you're familiar with Miss Minturn's rules of her classroom, but that is not a good thing. Help me, somebody. That means you're going to get a paddling. My name was up there, Brother Michael, every single day of the third grade. Amen. And it's been a downhill ever since then. I've read my name in some pretty rough places. Somebody help me now. Oh, don't go Googling. By the way, Bud ain't my real name. And I ain't telling you the real one. Somebody holler, amen. Yeah, there's a seven-year statute of limitations we're trying to outlive. Amen. Oh, but my name is wound up in some pretty rough spots. But oh, thank God, March the 1st, 1996, in the backseat of an old gray Oldsmobile in Crossville, Tennessee, my name got wrote down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah! And my name has been written in heaven. Did you see it? Have you ever reared back and seen that signature? Did you see the signature? That's my name there, sure enough. But it ain't my handwriting. Hallelujah. I didn't write my name there. Somebody else wrote my name there. The Son of God. The Son of God wrote my name. And if you're saved by the grace of God, you've got a reason to rejoice in that your names have been written in heaven. Hallelujah. Well, number three, and true to my word, that's brief if you ain't never seen a brief sermon. Look at verse number 21. In that hour, watch this now, Jesus rejoiced. Did you see that? Oh, I hear that old beady. I had about seven preacher boys on the front row of my church I pastored. And it's my fault. I carried them in a Sunday school class one day and chewed them out for sitting there like a knot on a log. Now, y'all are allowed to do that. Help me, somebody. In fact, there's not a verse in the Bible where you're required to even say amen during the preaching. I wish there was. If I was writing the Bible, that'd be the 11th commandment. Thou shalt back the preacher. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, you ain't burning a lick of calories sitting there looking at me. You go to church like you're supposed to go to church, honey, you'll burn calories. Praise God. Well, ordinary regular church members allowed to sit there and look at us. I carried them preacher boys back in that Sunday school classroom and I chewed them out. They sat there looking at me while I was preaching. I said, if I stand in that pulpit and say something that you agree with doctrinally, and you don't say amen, I consider that lying. I said, I ain't having a lying preacher in my pulpit. Huh? I couldn't make announcements. I couldn't make announcements. They'd shout me down. Woo! There's a life of the party after that. Praise God. And then here she come. Here she come. I ain't going to tell you who it was. You know who it was. Preacher. Them preacher boys is hooting and hollering. They're disturbing everybody in the church. Huh? She said, you're about three goosebumps and a shout away from flopping on the ground like a fish, speaking in some unknown tongue. I said, yeah. I said, and you're about two more dead Bob Jones University Chapel songs away from a bead, sucking on a cracker, climbing in a side box with somebody. Hey, man. Y'all get up and go over there, sit back down. I don't care what you do. Huh? Huh? I gave her the Jesus fingers. Hey, man. Ma'am, you're going to have to go back over there and sit down. Hush. May get me an incense pot for you. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, 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 ha. Amen. By the way, that garbage is on the same octave as the Muslim prayers that goes out. You know what I'm telling you? What I'm telling you is it's the same spirit in them Muslim prayers and them Catholic chants. It's the same spirit. And it's an evil spirit. It's an evil spirit. Most evil place I've ever been in my life was the Vatican, St. Peter's Basilica. Yeah, I went to the church, the Pope's church, on a Wednesday. Coming back from a missions trip. I just wanted to preach. Yeah, I had a sermon and everything. I was going to preach on no hope in the Pope. I had a text. One me daddy between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Oh, yeah. I was going to put the little hat on. I was going to sit up there and I was going to preach that thing, throw him crackers at him. Amen. Huh? The Pope is not as gracious a pastor as ours is tonight in letting me preach. He wouldn't let me preach. Most evil place. Help me, somebody. We didn't learn. Somebody said, you know, we didn't, Jesus never acted like that. Come here. I got you a blessed fired verse. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. It was a man acquainted with sorrows. I can show you in the Bible where he wept over Jerusalem, where he wept at the tomb of Lazarus. I can show you him weeping. I can show you him suffering. I can show you him down. But there's at least one time in your King James Bible where the Bible said the Lord rejoiced in spirit. That's a small letter S. That's not his Holy Spirit. That's his human spirit. You know what Jesus was doing? He was jumping up and down and spinning around and shouting the victory. He was hooping and hollering and giving God glory and acted just like they acted. Jesus never acted like that, my hind leg. Here's three reasons to rejoice. Number one, Satan has been expelled. You ought to shout right there. Huh? Huh? I was the first person in my family to ever get saved as far back as anybody could recall. My mom and daddy met because my father, my grandfather on my father's side was a whiskey maker from Van Zandt, Virginia. My grandfather on my mother's side was a moonshine runner from Soddy Daisy, Tennessee. Rot, gut, hard liquor brought my mom and daddy together. That's where I come from. Help me, somebody. By the way, Bud ain't my real name. I was supposed to be down that line. I was supposed to walk down that aisle. I was supposed to be out there in that world. Every male member of my family's a drunk or a drug addict as far back as anybody can recall. But somehow or another, God, in his merciful kindness, reached into that cesspool of iniquity and saved my never-dying soul. And I don't have to smoke reefer. I don't have to hunt the dope man. I don't don't have to have a 12-pack. I don't have to have pills to cope with life. Jesus set me free. He's a new sheriff in town, honey. Pardon me if I shout that Satan has been expelled. Number two, the signature has been exposed. I remember when I first got saved, I wasn't sure if I did it right. When God saved me in the backseat of that car, He saved me and called me to preach at the same time. I know that ain't how it works, but that's how it works. What do you want me to do about it? Huh? I was saved on a Friday night. That following Monday, I enrolled in a Bible college. Yeah. Folks don't think I got no education because of the way I act. I do. I got more degrees than the thermometer. Amen. I packed 4 years into six. Not an easy thing to do, I might add. But I remember that first semester I had a class called Drawing the Net. Soul winners class. I wasn't going to say it back then, but I'll say it now. They're teaching people how to trick other people how to get saved. Somebody say amen. Easy believism garbage. ABC, repeat after me. Say this prayer and you're in. Help me, somebody. Hey, takes a little bit more than that. I never talked anybody into it, but I never talked anybody out of it. I made a D- in fundamentalism. They should have made me the blessed fired valedictorian of that entire class. Somebody holler amen. Praise God. And the rest of that crowd, you know where they're at? They're at the bluff, the rock, the cliff, the point, with an ESV in their hand in Bermuda shorts. Somebody holler amen. Hey, praise God. Pardon me. Pardon me if I shout that the signature has been exposed. That preacher got up. Hear what he said. He's preaching on how to lead somebody to Christ. Help me, y'all. And he said, this is the sinner's prayer. If you did not pray the sinner's prayer, you're not saved. I raised my hand. Bud, may I be excused? I went to the bathroom, men's room. Got down on my knees in the men's room of that Bible college. And I prayed that sinner's prayer. And the Holy Ghost of God spoke to my heart. Help me, y'all. It was not an audible voice, although it did sound a lot like Alexander Scorby. What are you doing in the floor of the bathroom? I said, I didn't pray right. And here's what he said. You can't pray wrong. Well, praise God. I doubted my salvation. Have you ever doubted your salvation? You know the devil will try to make you doubt your salvation. He'll mess with church kids, especially preacher's kids. He'll try to make them doubt their salvation. Well, you're in good company with Jesus. Satan came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 and said it three times. If thou be the Son of God. You sorry rascal. Help me, somebody. You know good and well who He is. You were there when He spoke the world into existence. When He weighed the mountains in the balance. Measured out the ocean in the hollow of His hand. You were there. You know who He is. If thou be the Son of God. He had the audacity to try to make Jesus doubt His salvation. Who won't He mess with? And I remember the glad day when God showed me the signature. Alongside Moses, Paul the Apostle, help me somebody, King David, Peter, help me somebody, our old bud's name is. Praise God, showed me the name. It wasn't my handwriting. He the one wrote it there. He's the one wrote it there and can't nobody take it out. Pardon me if I shout, because the signature has been exposed. And here's the last one. Jesus rejoiced in spirit. The Savior has been our example. You want to be like Christ? You want to be like Christ? Ain't that Christianity? Ain't that Christianity? And tell what the word means. Christ-like. Huh? You want to be like Christ? You ain't got to do it every time. Come here. You ain't got to do it every time. But there needs to be sometime. Don't tell me that sometime. Oh, when something don't well up inside you, hallelujah. And you want to rejoice in spirit. Jesus did. That's what that word means. You can fact check me. It means he jumped up and down and spun around. Jesus has been our example. Old time Baptist was acting just like what I'm talking about way before the circus ever came to town. Help me somebody. I ain't charismatic, but I ain't Catholic neither. Amen. There are reasons to rejoice. Let's all stand together, heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's get a song. Can we just come, however you want to do it, preacher. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We're going to go next door. Boy, my 15 minutes sure did fly by, didn't it? Huh? We got some food waiting on us. Going to have a good time. Y'all stay around and fellowship with us. We're going to have a good time. Here's what I want to do before we dismiss. Here's what I want to do. I want you to bow your heads with me. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody's looking. Nobody's looking. Is anybody in the house say, preacher? How about this? Let's do it this way. Preacher, I know my name is there. Whoa! I know! I don't hope so. I don't think so. Maybe so. Preacher, I know my name. It's written in heaven. Would you slip your hand up and hold it there? Just hold it there. Just slip your hand up and hold it. As a testimony, I know my name is there. Thank you. God bless you. Nobody's looking. You can put your hands down. Ain't nobody looking. Ain't nobody looking. Would it be somebody say, preacher, pray for me? I couldn't raise my hand. I'm not sure if I'm saved. I don't know that I've even got reasons to rejoice. Huh? I don't know that my name is written in heaven. Anybody like that at all? Can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? Slip your hand up. Let me see it. God bless you, young lady. God bless you. Thank you for your honesty. Would there be somebody else?